Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY25 earnings Muthoot Capital Services Limited conference call hosted by Elara Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Shweta Daptardar from Elara Securities Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Capital Services Limited. From the esteemed management, we have with us today Mr. Matthew Smarco, CEO, Mr. Ramandeep Gill, CFO. We express our gratitude towards the management of Muthoot Capital to provide us the opportunity to host this conference call. Without further ado, I now hand over the call to Mr. Ramandeep Gill, CFO, for his opening remarks, post which we can open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Shweta. Very good morning to all of you. Yesterday, we had our audit committee, and the results were successfully adopted in the board. I'll just provide you the glimpse of the results first, and then we can have a Q&A session. So with this, in this quarter, we did 643 crore of additional sourcing, whereas, you know, we can easily say that this would be the highest quarter, right? And maintaining a rate of, you know, 75-25 towards NCSL and towards co-lending. Therein, in this quarter, we have taken our book to 2,381 crore, whereas, you know, our GNPA stands at 4.80% and NNPA stands at 1.62%. The PBT for the quarter stood at 21.62 crore, whereas CRAR stood at 26.93%. The debt to equity of the company stood at 3.37 times. The overall balance sheet of the company reached at 2,848 crore, whereas borrowings of the company outstanding at 2,141 crore. In this quarter, the company had did one ARC deal, as you know, the guidance has already been shared during our Q1 results that we want to have a balanced approach because we knew that, you know, sourcings are going to be big in this quarter. So we want to have an ARC deal. The ARC deal portfolio of the deal was close to 100 crore, and the entire portfolio belonged to the pre-COVID era. So we don't want to impact our AUM much. That is the reason we have, you know, decided to do this deal in this quarter itself. So therein, after doing the deal, if we have gone, you know, from quarter to quarter, we would have reached at a GNPA of 7.2%. But, you know, we know that, you know, in order to raise funds from PSUs and everything, we need to have a GNPA below 6%. And this pool was something, you know, wherein we wanted to take a call. But from March onwards, we wanted to do in Q1. Then because of the AUM growth and everything, seeing that we have took that balanced approach and took the call in this quarter itself. By doing this, a number of 643 crore of additional sourcing, we acquired 75,854 new customers during this quarter, taking our total customer base to 446,998 as of September ended. This has taken our shareholders' funds to 639.42 crore. The company has been successfully able to maintain the yield at 19.96%. Last year, in Q2, at the same time, we were having an AUM of 1,767 crore. That AUM has been grown to 2,381 crore now. Last year, at the same time, the company was only approaching with, you know, two products mainly, two-wheeler and corporate loans. Now, as we speak, out of this 2,381 crore, we had a two-wheeler share of 2,173 crore, corporate loan share of 105 crore. We have added, you know, we have taken our four-wheeler portfolio from 12 crore to 51 crore now. Three-wheeler portfolio was nil. Now it is close to 31 crore. Loyalty loan and personal loan have reached to 11.68 crore. CV was not even introduced. Now it is standing at 8.70 crore. So we are seeing a remarkable diversification of the business as well in this quarter. As I said, you know, after taking the call on the GNPA and the NNPA number, the GNPA stood at 4.80% and NNPA of the company stood at 1.62%. With this, the company has reported an EPS of 9.71 rupees compared to 6.57 rupees in Q1, right? And the ROA of the company for the quarter stood at approximately 3%, 2.91% precisely, as compared to 2.23% in the quarter one. A 27% growth has been recorded in the ROA. 10.31% is the ROE which has been recorded by us in Q2, whereas in Q1 it was 7.39%, thereby recording a growth of 40% in this parameter as well. The the company has operated throughout, last 2 years or so at an average LTV of between 80 to 85%. We maintained that. Last year at the same time, we were having an own funds of 590 crores. Now we have been able to take it to 639.40 crores. Talking about the loan loss provisions, yes, we did one ARC. Plus, in terms of recoveries also, we do have a good, we have seen good efficiencies in stage 0, stage 1, and stage 2. Stage 3, we have seen a bit of dip, but that has been recovered in the first week of October due to festivals in September. And we are sure that, we'll be able to improve this in this quarter. The company has taken a target of 344 crore to 400 crores at the time of framing the budget for this financial year. But we have been able to do 643.50 crore because by Q1 itself, we felt that, the company will be able to clock approximately 200 to 250 crores a month, right? And talking about the retail loans and the NCSL share versus the co-lending share, which was the concern in the Q1 call as well, we maintained that from our dealer channel and the group, we have been able to source 75% as an incremental business in this quarter as compared to the other channels or partnership channels. But we continue to work with partnerships as well. Right. Talking about the source of collections, the company has been able to increase its e-NACH penetrations. That was one of the reasons in bringing down my cost of recoveries as well. My total collection from NACH and from bank and electronic mode, first time ever, it has cost more than 100 crores in a month, which is quite a significant achievement for us. Talking about the asset analysis, 78.89% of the book standing at zero bucket. First bucket, we had approximately 14% of the book. In second bucket, we are having 2.76%. Whereas if we talk about the third bucket, as I said, the GNPA was 4.80%. So that portfolio is standing in the third bucket. We are talking about, product wise, with two-wheelers, we have, almost entire book in standard assets, except 5.24% specifically in the NPA. With four-wheeler, almost entire book is in standard asset, except 0.55%, which is lying as an NPA. Three-wheeler, we are having a zero NPA. In CVs, which we have introduced, again, zero NPAs. Loyalty loan and personal loans, we are having an NPA of close to 2%. Corporate loan and others, we are having a zero NPA. Talking about the partner-wise, from dealer and branch combined together, we are having a GNPA of approximately 4.8%. For others, when we talk about partnerships such as co-lending, we are having a zero NPA as of now. The company had four partners for partnership and three partners for VCs. We are continuing with Wheels EMI, CWC, Manda, and EV.Swin for our EV financing and upmoney. Whereas for VCs, we are having our group companies supported by Muthoot FinCorp and Muthoot Automotive. Deccan Finance is also our third partners. Now, talking about the ECL portion of the company has adequately provided for the ECL as compared to the IRAC norm. We can see that, 98.87 CR is the ECL of the company in all these stages combined together. Whereas as per the requirement, we need to maintain 45.12 CR. Therefore, we are 53.75 crore higher than what is required as per the IRAC norms. The company had done first ARC transaction with Phoenix ARC wherein the balance of that investment security receipts at the start was 102.22 crore. In this September end, we have closed that security receipt investment balance at 46.10 crore, therefore making a significant recoveries in that ARC portfolios as well. Talking about ARC2, which company had done in September, we have done this with Paras ARC with an investment in securities balance of 41.73 crore. And in September only, we had a pool recoveries of more than 3 crores in this pool. Liabilities of the companies, we have to talk about promoter groups stand strong, and they are having a shareholding of 62.60%. Retail is holding 26.24%. Rest of the shareholdings are held by NRIs, institutions, and others. Talking about the funding position of the company, we have been successfully able to raise 670 crores during the last quarter. Out of that, almost 500 crores pertains to long-term funding, and 175 crores pertain to short-term funding. The additional cost of new facilities which companies has obtained stood at 9.83%, whereas all working capital demand loan, everything has been rolled over. We have been successfully able to close one impact investment also with Guarantco. Guarantco is a UN-based fund, wherein we have been successfully able to close that transaction with Guarantco and Axis Bank amounting to 100 crore rupees. We had an additional funding from IDFC First Bank also from 120 crore. Other fundings we have been successfully able to raise from the PSU, either in the form of working capital demand on rollover or in the form of NCDs from our partners. The mix is like NCDs stands at 604 crore, whereas FDs of the company has been increased from 40 crore to 42.37 crore. There is a working capital demand loan, term loan from the bank which are standing at 1100 CR. CPs of the company standing at 200 crores. And whereas PTCs and DA portfolio of the company, it stood at 189 crore, mostly towards PTC because DA we had only one deal of 3 crore rupees, which is outstanding. Talking about the MCLR change, the change in the ROI, we have observed 0.70% increase in the average MCLR, whereas in terms of increase in ROA, it stood at 0.14%. Therein, we have also seen repo rate hikes during this quarter. Not this quarter, in the last 18 months, we have seen hike happen in May 23, June 23, August 2023, September again, then Q3 ending, then Feb 24. Considering all this, our borrowing cost, which used to be 9.70%, in last September has gone to 9.84%, whereas average MCLR rate, which used to be 8.51% of the banks, has gone up to 9.21%. So therein, we have made a significant achievement by decreasing the spread which we are taking from the banks. In terms of the ALM and the structural liquidity of the company, we have not observed any kind of stress. Even after providing a severe stress of 15% of the outflows and the inflows, thereby also maintaining the LCR as per the requirement of RBI, which is 85%, we are maintaining more than that at any point of time. So there is no stress which we have observed in 1 to 7 days, 8 to 14 days, 15 to 1 month, 1 to 2 months, 2 to 3 months, 3 months to 6 months, and 6 months to 12 months. For liquidity, we know that in this quarter also we want to do 300 CR a month. Hopefully, we'll be closing the same number in October, though we are right. And we want this sourcing to be somewhere around 900 to 1000 crore in this quarter. By maintaining that, we do have our fund position wherein we do have our term sheets and sanction letters on hand. We are expecting to close this. This quarter at 260.31 CR of cash in hand, thereby maintaining a LCR of 85% as prescribed by the RBI. So that's it. That's an overall glimpse from our side in terms of finance numbers. I would like to give this call to Matthew sir now, so as to take you to the business numbers. Thank you.
Thank you, Raman. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. You're audible.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Very, very happy to connect with you all once again. Let me start by wishing all of you and your loved ones a very, very happy Diwali and a very prosperous year ahead. As Raman has already indicated, we had a more than satisfactory, or so to say, a very robust H1. Both Q1 and Q2, we beat our own estimates on all parameters, whether it is disbursement or reduction in NPA. We beat our own estimates, and also we beat the guidance that we had given to the investors in our previous earnings call, and also to our bankers and other stakeholders. So as Raman already mentioned, we ended up Q2, H1 with 642 crores of disbursement overall. We had given a guidance in our previous call of about 600 crores. And we had given a guidance on GNPA coming down to 6% level by March 25. But we are very, very happy to say that in H1 itself, we brought down our GNPA level to 4.8%. And this was supported by very robust growth in our own MCSL business. So the MCSL business alone did 420 crores out of this overall 642 crores. While we continue to work with all our partners still continue to do business with us. Our other businesses, other new lines of businesses, which is commercial vehicles and used car loans, are also coming up beautifully. Month on month, they are growing. And this will grow further in Q3, because on 1st of November, that is 2 days from now, we are launching our new LOS, which is going to be the real game changer for this business. So we are moving our both to used car and commercial vehicle businesses to our new LOS. This should see a drastic improvement in business growth, reduction in TAT, much more better quality of sourcing and all that. Two-wheeler business on the whole has been growing steadily for us. Yesterday was Dhanteras, which is considered to be a very, very auspicious day. We delivered 6,000 vehicles yesterday pan-India. That's a very, very good number. Sometime last year, we used to do that number in the whole of 1 month. And yesterday alone on 1 day, we disbursed that number, which augurs very, very well for the company. Our BC model with our group company, Muthoot FinCorp, is coming up very, very well. They are now about 25% of our overall business. And Muthoot FinCorp in this year so far has already done whatever they did in the whole of last year. So they've already registered 100% growth, and we expect a 200% growth from that channel alone. The NPA levels on the portfolio sourced by them is only 0.15%, which also augurs well for us. The other BC partners with Muthoot Automotive and Deccan, all of them are coming up very well without any delinquency on the portfolio. And the growth is also close to 60-70% on these two partnerships as well. All our co-lending partners have grown with us. The co-lending partners have added an AUM of 280 crores in H1. Our liability side of the book has also seen slight growth. We added our liability book by about 1,200 customers in H1. Our collection efficiency has improved significantly. We are at, on the X bucket, zero bucket, we are at 98% efficiency, which is up of 2% over 96%, which we were maintaining in the last year. Even in bucket X, we have, because bucket one, we have improved from 78% to 82%. So all buckets on collection, we are seeing efficiency as well as reduction in overall cost. As CFO already mentioned, electronic mode of collection has come up to about 67% of our overall portfolio. What is noteworthy is also that our digital payment on the new acquisition has come up to 75% now, which used to be about 50% in June and about 45% last year. So today we collect 75% of the incremental business through e-NACH mode, which will further reduce our collection cost in the months to come. We've taken a lot of digital initiatives, including bringing a new CRM solution, lead management solution. We had already tied up with a few ecosystem partners like Bike Dekho, Bajaj FinServe. We have added to that list PhonePay. We have also revamped our own website from which we are getting leads. All these leads will culminate now into the lead management platform, and where we will be able to manage those leads much more efficiently. The dispositions can be captured. much more efficiently. The tracking of the lead end to end can be done much more efficiently. Along with that, our usage of the Muthoot Fincorp One app, which is our app for all our customers, absorption of that has improved. We now have about 50,000 downloads on that app, and usage on that app has also significantly improved. About 4% of our overall collection is now coming through that app, and we are making further developments on that app to increase that absorption level much more. We are creating a self-service journey on our website as well as on the app for customers to take new products of ours, which means today if a customer wishes to take a loyalty loan, which is a loan which we give to a customer who has paid us well on the two-wheeler loan, he can just get into our website or onto the app and complete the journey on his own. So that is the development which we will be launching sometime in November, which will again boost our ability to go digital and to increase volumes there. We are starting the cross-selling business. So still now we were focused on only on our business, but now that part has stabilized, our productivity levels have gone above 13 numbers on the two-wheeler side. We are now looking at increasing the cross-sell and on the fee. So what we did was we did run a propensity model on our existing two-wheeler base, and we saw that there's a 2,000 crore of housing loan and LAP outstanding for our two-wheeler customers from outside of Muthoot ecosystem. So we tied up with our group company, which is Muthoot Housing Finance, for cross-selling of housing loan and LAP. So we've got into an arrangement with them. We created that propensity model where our customers, 6,000 of our customers who have shown high propensity to take housing loan and LAP, and we will be passing on those leads to our housing loan company, and we get a fee income upon conversion. So that arrangement has been approved by our board. As Raman was mentioning, over the last 1 year, that is September to September, we grew our AUM by 614 crores, which was about 35% growth of that AUM. So every month we are growing our AUM by 4 to 5%. And in the next 6 months, we plan to grow our AUM by about 640 odd crores. Our objective is to end the year with about 3,000 crores of AUM. So I think overall, the business is robust. Our Q3 happens to be the best season for the industry as a whole, and we've already capitalized on that. I mentioned about the Dhanteras delivery. October, we will end up with about 300 crores of disbursement, and the next 2 months should also be good. So I think we look at the next 5 months of the year with a lot of expectation, a lot of hope, and hopes we will be able to deliver on all the fronts as we've been able to beat our own expectations and guidance that we've given so far in the year. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Lavanya, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. My first question is about the customer acquisition and retention. So with the new customers added in Q2, what are the primary strategies driving this customer acquisition? Additionally, what initiatives are in place to improve this customer retention and enhance lifetime value? This was my first question. And the second question is with respect to ROE and ROA trends. Our ROE increased to 10.31% and ROA to 2.9 in Q2. What are the main contributors to this improvement? And do you expect these levels to be sustainable going forward? Thank you.
So I will take the first question, and I would request Ramandeep to take the second question. So on the business model today, as I mentioned, we have three broad channels. One is the dealer channel, which every competitor uses. We have a unique channel which is unique to us, basically, which is the Muthoot FinCorp branches, which has about a strength of 4,000 branches, and they do cross-sell of our products. And the third channel that we recently introduced is the digital channel. So about 75% of the business comes from the dealer channel, about 24% comes from the Muthoot FinCorp FinCorp channel, and about less than 1% is through the digital channel. It's a new channel that we have added. So there's a different strategy that we employ for all these three channels. So in the, at the dealerships, we have our executives placed, and it is completely based on efficiency levels. Wherever we are more efficient, we get our market share over the last 1 year has jumped up from about 2.5% to about 7.5% in the locations that we operate, which means that we've shown much more efficiency and we've eaten into the market share of other competitors. On the FinCorp branches, what we do is that all the customers that walk in for a gold loan or some other product of FinCorp, we try to do cross-sell. So any customers, we display two-wheelers and used car at the branches, and the customers who walk in, they are offered special schemes and they get converted, and that's how we exploit that channel. And on the digital space, we have tied up with various marketplaces, like I mentioned in my opening remarks. We've tied up with Bike Dekho, we've tied up with Bajaj Finserv, we've tied up with PhonePay, and we have a few tie-ups in the pipeline, which is Bharat Matrimony, LinkedIn, etc., whom we are at advanced level of discussions for a tie-up. All of these platforms will pump in leads to our CRM, and from there, the leads get disseminated to our frontline sales, who go and convert these leads. So that's on the acquisition strategy. On the retention strategy, again, as I mentioned, we are developing, we put in a lot of effort and money and investment in people behind machine learning models. And based on that, we've created propensity model for different products. So today we have a propensity model created for used car, for commercial vehicles, and for housing and lab. So the used car and commercial vehicle are our own in-house products. So the based on the propensity model, we are passing on these leads to our frontline sales team through the CRM system. And these leads are converted by our frontline sales team. On the housing and lab, since this is not our product, we have tied up with our group company, which is Muthoot Housing Finance. And these leads get passed on to Muthoot Housing Finance, who in turn give us a fee for conversion. So what this effectively does is that, as I mentioned before, in our own base of two-wheeler, we ourselves were pleasantly surprised to see that there was 2,000 crore of AUM resting in our two-wheeler customer base outside of Muthoot ecosystem, which means the customers that we are acquiring as a two-wheeler have that much more potential, because other lenders have given them, 2,000 crores of loans. So we now, as a retention tool, we have started our own propensity model, wherein we will keep it within our ecosystem so that we don't lose it to competition, and we are able to upsell and graduate them to higher products like used car, commercial vehicles, housing loan, LAP, etc. So that's our overall strategy on customer acquisition and retention. I hope that answers your question. And on the ROA, ROE, I would request Raman to take it up.
Sure. Thank you, sir. So, boss, as far as Q1 and Q2 is concerned, we have done an incremental number of approximately 1,100 crores, right? And in Q3 and Q4, we are expecting to do a number of approximately 1,600 to 1,800 odd crores, right, which is almost 2.5 times of what we are doing, right? And this, since it's being a seasonal thing for us, so we are expecting it, and we are positive about these numbers as well. Second thing, talking about, this main contributor towards this ROA and ROE, right? So there is, so one thing which is for sure, if you see, we have also shown in the investor presentation as well, the yield of the blended yield, yield of the company is going up. Yes, in the seasons when we have to pay some special incentive on and all. So the yields might get dropped by, by 5-10 bps, that's it, which we are expecting. But the only thing is that when your denominator will increase, even that dip will get will not be having any effect. Second thing, talking about the efficiencies of the company, as I already said, we had, you know, we had some slippage in stage three, you know, because we, because of the higher PCR, we are providing 75% percentage on the additional NPA, right? So with those slippages which you, which we are expecting to convert, you know, on or before September ended, you got converted into, you know, October first week. So that happens, you know, sometimes. But you know, this if that would happen there, I was expecting honestly, I was expecting a ROA of approximately 3.3 to 3.4%, right? But which is okay, you know, we learn and we try to, you know, improve also. So in Q3 and Q4 as well, I am expecting the same number. But you know, considering if our business goes high, which, you know, which the chances of which are extremely high, I am expecting a level of somewhere around 3.5 to 3.8% of ROA for sure, boss. Right? And I hope this answers.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Mehta from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Congratulations on very strong set of numbers. So I have a few questions. Firstly, on you know, asset quality. So I think you talk about how your efficiencies of collections have gone up in zero DPD bucket and the first bucket as well. And we can see that in the flow rates, the flow rates are pretty controlled and your NPAs are pretty controlled. Sir, there has been a lot of noise about stress in lower income households, in urban areas, in rural areas. MFI stress we can see. I mean, a lot of MFIs are seeing a lot of pain, right? Credit cards for lower income, is showing a lot of pain. So what is, do we expect these asset quality trends, which are very strong for us right now, to remain strong in H2 also? Or do you think that some of the stress which is there in the economy in the lower income segment can spill over in our segment as well, in our product?
Okay, so thank you for the question. So let me say, it could be hubris to say that, you know, the external environment is not going to impact us at all. So there would be some spillover effect, but I can tell you what are the checks and balances that we are putting in place to ensure that it does not happen. So of course, there is some stress on the MFI space, but so far we have not seen that translate to any stress on our portfolio. That's number one. Two, as a secured business, my average LTV is around 80%, which means 20% equity the customer is putting in from his or her side. Once the customer has paid in, given 20% equity, then the chances of the customer going delinquent becomes very, very limited, unless the customer is an intentional defaulter or a fraud. And that happens to be a very, very, very small percentage of the overall portfolio. That's an occupational hazard. It comes in how much ever you put in. But overall, by keeping the LTV levels in check, we are ensuring that some of that gets deterred at the very go. Secondly, the sales team is, given the target of collecting, we call the cohort as quick mortality, which is first, second, and third EMI. The first, second, and third EMI has to be essentially collected by the sales team, and we monitor that very, very closely. So our semi-non-starter is almost zero. It comes in single digits, 2 cases, 5 cases, 6 cases, and those could be accidental or death cases. And then the next two EMIs also have an efficiency level of about 99%, 98 to 99%. So we ensure that the flow from there is restricted to a large extent. We, even if a customer at some stage stops paying, since it's a secured asset, we are, we always have the option, recourse of repossessing the asset. And we have put up a team for that as well. Earlier, we used to be maybe about 2 years back, we were selling off at a loss of about 50%. Today, we brought it down to 35%. 30 to 35% is our loss on sale, by which time we are able to, recover quite a bit of the principal amount of the loan. Okay. And the entire process of repo and sale has been revamped now. So we take an online quote, we take an offline quote, we are tied up with all the used two-wheeler brokers or dealers in the ecosystem, and we take an offline quote from them and take an online quote by all the players who are online. So and then there's a valuation that is done for the asset, and we ensure that we are able to sell it off at the best possible value also. So thereby we are able to reduce the losses. Another thing that we very, very closely monitor is the registration certificate pending, so RC pending. So that is very, very closely monitored so that we have a check and balance on the number of vehicles that are registered, and that is always kept below 2 to 2.5%, so that we ensure that the RCs are in place, and there is a check on that as well. So all these checks and balances we put in place, which are some of the industry best practices, and therefore we don't see lower and middle income stress cascading to our business to a large extent, but as I said, it would be hubris to say that nothing is going to happen. As and when we see market scenarios, we will take appropriate steps to reduce it.
Sure, sure. Thank you for this elaborate answer. But just two quick follow-ups on this. So October, see, September, the numbers are there, but October is just, October is just getting completed. So in terms of October, has the collections held up as well as what we saw in Q2? So far we haven't seen any increase in flow or something so far in October?
Not at all. So far we do both in business as well as in collection, we have a LMTD, which is last month till date comparison. So that it keeps giving us an indication whether we are on the track or not. So, of course, business is way ahead because it's a season. But on collections also, against LMTD, we are ahead so far in the month. So we should end up with the similar numbers, or if not
more. And sir, what percentage of two-wheeler customers or two-wheeler households would have an MFI loan as per the bureau for our customer?
Honestly, we have not looked at the MFI component. As I mentioned, we have, as a part of building the propensity model, we looked at housing, LAP, used car, and CV. But we have not looked at MFI as such. Maybe that's the data point that we should look at. It's a good idea. Thank you. We will have a look at it.
Sure. Can I just ask one more question, please?
Yeah.
Sure. And sir, on disbursement, I think in the initial commentary, you spoke about second half being much heavier or even better than first half. And I think somewhere the number was spoken that the business volume can even be 1500 to 1800 crore in H2. Did I hear that right?
Okay. So to give you a perspective, we disbursed 642 crores in Q2. Okay.
Right.
Again, that in October alone, we have disbursed 300 crores. So 50% of that we've disbursed in 1 month. And next 2 months are also expected to be big. As I mentioned, yesterday was Dhanteras. We delivered 6,000 vehicles, which is more than 50 crores of business in one single day. So that used to be my overall volume in Q1 of last year. That's the kind of numbers that we have so far seen. And November should be very good because there is a spillover effect of this, Diwali, Dhanteras, and then you have Chhat Puja in UP, Bihar, those parts. So all these actually are very, very emotional, festivals for the people there, and it sees a corresponding increase in sales. So November also we should be looking at similar number like in October. December it may slightly taper down because of the effect of model change in January and so on and so forth, but we should do more than 800 to 900 crores in Q3. Then Q4 is not normally as good as Q3, but it generally is better than Q2. So Q2 was 640 crores for us. I think we should do about 700 odd crores in Q4 as well. So I think overall, about 1500 crores should happen in the second half.
Great. I'll come back in the queue, sir. I've got more questions, but wonderful numbers and best of luck.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Rishikesh from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is with respect to the NII. So our NII currently is in 56 to 58 crore range per quarter. So when can we see NII start growing around, you know, in the range of 20%-30%? And by which quarter can we say, you know, it can reach in the range of 70 crore odd?
Okay. I'll take it. Yeah. Hi, Hrishikesh. Thank you for your question. So, as I said, you know, at the start of the call itself, we want to have. So NII has two components for us. One is at what yield we are operating. Second is, what is my cost of funds, right? So these are the two main factors on which, you know, we rely. So first, what we have done is, first target was to bring our GNPA down. And it's not because of the fact that, you know, we are having a GNPA. It's because we had an erstwhile book, right? And we know that, you know, recovery can be done from that book, so that is the reason we took a conscious call of going ahead with an ARC. How it will help us now, whenever we, you know, apply for any PSU bank or anything, they have a criteria, specific criteria, that you should have GNPA of lower than 5% or 6%, some banks have. So we wanted to have that criteria to be met. How it will help us now, then all the incremental raisings which we are planning to do, or there are, you know, which we are in talks right now, we will be having a lower cost, right? Like, I am expecting  0.50 to 0.60 down in Q3 only, you know, from my incremental cost of funds, right? Second thing is, you know, as I said, in Q2, we do have some special schemes, special incentives as well, you know, which we have paid. But that is not something which is a trend for the whole year. So in Q3 and Q4, we'll be operating at a normal yield and or more than that, right? So these are the two factors wherein, you know, I can see top line is getting increased. I can also seeing because of the, you know, borrowing cost, which is now, you know, one of the key factor, right? It will also get dropped in Q3. The effect might start come from Q4 onwards, right? But yes, the trend can easily be seen in the Q3 only.
Okay. So would it be fair to say the range around, let's say, around, from here, 10 crore, 12 crore jump we can see by, you know, Q4?
10-12 crore would be slightly higher expectation in Q3. Definitely in Q4, we'll be able to do it. But Q3, actually, one more thing in Q3, which, you know, which is going to happen, that at the end of Q3, as per the RBI, now we have to maintain an LCR of 100% of all the NBFCs. Unlike housing finance companies, which used to operate at 60%, NBFCs has been advised to keep it 100%. So therein, we could have, you know, some additional funds to park in, right? But yes, from Q4 onwards, the impact can be seen. Half of the impact can be seen in Q3 as well.
Got it.
Yeah.
Also, in our current incremental book, quarter-on-quarter, around 200 crore of incremental book, how much of it is, you know, by our own franchises, MSCL, and how much is from co-lending?
Okay. So I'll tell you, as far as, first of all, boss, incremental was somewhere around, you know, 320-odd crore. The AUM, which we are seeing, is after subtracting the ARC component. So, if I have to total, I can easily say that, approximately 400+ crore has come out of 643 crore of sourcing, which we have done. 400+ crore has come from NCFL sides, right? And, you know, remaining has come from the partnerships.
That is in disbursement terms, right? But in loan book terms, if we have 320 crore incremental book quarter-on-quarter, how much of that is MCFL and how much is other co-lending?
Okay, okay. Sir, following the same trend since entire book, you know, in terms of incremental, is of two-wheeler, which has an average time period of 2 years. So I can easily say that 70%-75% of the book came from MCFL itself.
Okay.
Because rundown will also happen in the same proportionate, boss.
Got it. And on total book basis, would it be same, 70%?
So I'll say this, see, from Q1 and Q2, I can easily say that 70%. But yes, since the effect of the, you know, past 2 years, wherein we used to operate at 50%, we jumped to 60%-40%. Now at incremental, we are at 70% of our own. So we can easily say that, we, this on the overall book, we can see the trend at 65% as of now. But yes, by Q4, it would be, you know, happily, we can say that it would be somewhere around 70%-75% of the overall book.
Got it. And one last question. On a 2-year basis, could you share what is our target for, you know, in terms of loan book, ROEs, ROAs?
Okay, I will go with, like, first of all, with, you know, first 1 year time, right? And you know what changes we are expecting. So right now, you know, during most of the call, we are speaking about two-wheelers as of now. But as I said, you know, at the start of the call, we have also introduced CVs, right, which is fairly a long-term product. We are also, you know, increasing our used car as well, right, from 12 crore to 51 crore in Q1, in Q2, right? Right. So we are expecting these books to grow as well heavily from Q3 and Q4 onwards. By next September, I'm targeting 5,000 crore of AUM, right? And yes, by that, the ROE operations, which, you know, which we are doing as of now, we are considering only two-wheeler effect as of now, because both books are very, very small, you know, to say anything about it, right? So, but, you know, considering the trend and considering how industry operates on these books, we might get an additional advantage from these books, which I'm 100% sure. Second thing is how these two books will help me in terms of, you know, as compared to the, you know, my existing book, the credit cost of these books are fairly lower than, you know, what we have. So there are positives also. Negative, I'll not say like that anything is, but these books operate, say, my two-wheeler have a blended yield to 20-odd%. For used car and LCV, I might operate it between 17%-18%. So therein, you know, we can say that, you know, these two books are very separate, but yes, in AUM growth, my new products will be helping me in contributing. I will be having additional income from them as well. And then going forward, you know, right now I can easily say that I want to operate at somewhere between 3.5%-4% in terms of my ROA, right? But, you know, going forward, the trend can easily be predicted well from quarter four onwards, once these books will grow and some seasoning can be done, especially for the used cars. I hope I am able to answer, boss.
I'm sorry. Yes, yes. I was on mute, actually. Thank you very much. That is from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Tarun Gupta from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. So my first question is, so how do you expect your net interest margin to look like in a lower interest rate environment?
Yeah. So boss, as I said, NIMs are going to improve basis on the fact that, you know, last 2 years, 2.5 years, we operated a very high NPA, right? Basis on that, we have also seen that increase in the cost of funds as well. Now, we are at par with, you know, how an industry, according to a PSU, would look like and should operate in terms of, you know, an NPA side. So therein, a reduction in the borrowing cost is expected, right? Wherein, you know, we have also said that we will also be having good improvement in our yields as well, because our contribution from the own books are increasing now. So I'm expecting a fairly good jump in this.
What percentage of your liability is currently linked to EBLR?
Sorry, what percentage of liability currently to?
EBLR.
So I'll say 50% consists of bank loans, right? And I'll just give you the exact percentages. Just wait for a second. I have a PPT. So my bank loans and bank fundings, you know, out of total 2,140 crores, we have 1,100 crores only from the banks. It's a combination of PSUs and the private banks, right? And my 600 crore out of funding, which is, you know, roughly about, you know, 40% of the book between NCDs, MLDs, and CPs. So therein, these two are the major contributions towards towards my funding. Then we have a portfolio of approximately 185 crores, which is around 15%, 12%-15% of the total funding that contributes towards my PTC and DDA portfolio.
Thank you. So, my last question, you mentioned that Dhanteras was strong in terms of business. So how this year festive season demand compared to last year performance, particularly during Dhanteras?
I will take that question, Raman. See, festive season typically in our country starts from Onam in Kerala, and then you have Ganesh Chaturthi, etc. in Maharashtra, and then you have Dhanteras, Diwali, and moves on till Christmas. So if you look at, say, August, September, I think Onam comes in Kerala. But this time, Onam was okay. I think it was at par with what was it last year. But September month as a whole for the industry was bad. So industry was down by about 8 to 9%. And it could be attributed to, you know, the Pitrupaksha and Shraddh happening in north of India. And there were heavy, incessant rains in many parts of the country. There were floods in Gujarat, etc., etc. AP, Telangana, all those places, there were floods. And therefore, I think that has hit the sentiments. So September was 9% down. October, so far, the figure is not out. But overall, you know, the way the feelers are coming in, October is also slightly lower than the last festive season. Also, the last festive season, one advantage was that you had Durga Puja and Diwali coming in two different months. So Durga Puja was in October, Diwali was in November. So we could take advantage of both these festivities. But this time around, both these festivals came in October. So Durga Puja was towards the beginning of October and Diwali is tomorrow. So both of them came into the same month. So that also needs to be seen how the overlap of business would have happened because of that. But we await October numbers, final numbers. It seems to be slightly subdued. However, the positive is that we at MCSL have been growing and our market share has been growing. So far, we have not seen any impact of the market per se. We were at around 2-2.5% market share. That's at around 7% market share. So even if there is an overall impact, the industry is about 13-14 lakhs per month. So for us to reach our numbers should not be a problem at all. So we are not looking at industry, at least for the time being, since we are so to say an outlier there this year. So maybe also because of our lower base of last year, but we'll continue to grow.
Thank you, sir. One more last question. So given the earlier guidance of AUM target of around 28,000 million to 30,000 million, and disbursement target around 20,000 million, are we currently on track to meet this objective or are we going to surpass it?
We are on track for that number. The earlier guidance was about 2,800 crores. We should cross 3,000 crores, God willing.
Okay. And last question. So could you please provide an update on any change to your co-lending partnership? If not, are there any plans to establish no tie-up in the near future?
There will not be any change. We will continue with all these partners. Since our own business is also growing, we may not add new partners for the time being at least.
Thank you. Very helpful.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Mehta from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, for giving me the opportunity again. So, sir, when you speak about 3.5-4% ROA, it is on what level of AUM we can achieve that? I mean, 3,000 crore is the target for March 25. And then I'm sure, I think somewhere in the call you also spoke about 5,000 crore AUM. So when do we think that 5,000 crore AUM can be achieved on a conservative basis? And, you know, with that level of AUM, is 3.5-4% ROA possible?
Yeah. So, boss, hi. So I would like to split this into two parts now. One is basically on a conservative basis, I am expecting this 5,000 crores to happen, you know, by Q3 of the next year for sure, right? Second thing is, if you see, when we take right now present book that on what yield we are operating and, you know, what is our expectation of the yield on a book of 5,000 odd crores. So there is an incremental yield of 1-1.5% which we are expecting, right? On that 5,000 odd CR of book. That would be the sole reason in contributing my 3.5% in converting my 3.5% to 4%. Right? That is what I'm expecting. Second thing is again.
And sorry, what will drive this yield improvement, sir? Sorry.
So yield improvement is, as I said, you know, our MCSL business and share has increased a lot significantly. Therefore, our overall blended yield on the book is going up.
Okay.
Right. So on a scale of 5,000 crore, it would be around 3,500 CR to approximately 4,000 CR would be on our MCSL book. So that is something, you know, which is giving a momentum to our yield. Second thing is, as I said, you know, with this numbers, and you know, I hope that we are able to maintain these numbers and continue these numbers. We are expecting, you know, good PSUs to pitch in with a significant lower cost of funds. So all these factors will become a contributor. Third thing, you know, wherein we told, you know, as our CEO has also explained on the efficiencies, right? We are good of what we are maintaining. Yes, there is some improvement, you know, which is not a very significant improvement. We have seen in stage 0, 1, and 2. Stage 3 is something which is on the focus as of now, but still we are way ahead of what we have done in last month. We are expecting these numbers, you know, to be maintained or, you know, or not to have any excess flow if ever happens. Both parties, okay. even if that excess flow happens, as I said during at the start of the call itself, we do have a provision. We are carrying additional 58 crore for that as well. So there is a conservative approach we have approached. We have applied. Along with that, we know that, you know, what sort of, you know, yields and NIMs we can operate on if things remain the same from here on.
No, clear. Thank you. And then if this is the kind of growth we are expecting, then would there be a requirement of raising capital, equity capital, by the end of next year
or in FY27
early?
Right. So right now, sir, we are operating at a leverage of 3.37 times, right? Mm-hmm. We expect to take this leverage to 4 times by March, right? We want to do, you know, basis on the valuations or other things, though we are getting proposals, you know, honestly, right? We have two options now. One, to have a subject at the start of the year or by Q2, so that, you know, we know that, you know, by the time our valuations can be rectified, you know, we'll be able to go for an equity tranche. Or if we get a good offer or something, we can start evaluating that from Q4 to Q1 itself, so that we can have some sort of chunk by the end of the Q2, so as to maintain our, you know, same leverage below 4.
Oh, understood. And just when you talk about this market share gain, right? I mean, I think one of the very important statements you made was that in the existing locations, at existing dealerships, the market share in two-wheeler loans of yours has gone up from 2.5-3%, maybe a couple of years back, to 7%. Now, what has driven this increase in market share? I mean, is it we being slightly more assertive on the LTVs or pricing, or we taking some risk calls here, and incrementally, do you see competition coming back and maybe not allowing us to further gain market share?
Okay, so basically market shares have been driven by efficiencies. So we sometime last year, I think October, we moved to a new LOS, loan origination system. Earlier we were on a very primitive LOS, which used to be just a workflow kind of a thing where you'll upload login documents, credit would look at each and every file. So we used to have a turnaround time, approval TAT of about 24 hours, okay? And when you have an approval TAT of 24 hours, what you are getting is the leftovers, because there were players who were giving you approvals in half an hour, 15 minutes, etc. So today with the new LOS and all the BRE rules configured, we have about 40% STP, which is straight through process, which means that for 40% of the cases, I am able to give approvals in 15 minutes, in line with what some of the bigger players do. Okay. Now, to give you a very good example from within our ecosystem, we have our VC partner, which is Muthoot Automotive, which is also a group company. There, we have a first right of rejection. Because it's our group company, so whatever we don't do, that only goes to competition, and we have about 60% market share in that counter. There, my NPA is zero, okay? Which okay. Essentially means that wherever I have I am able to turn around or I am able to get the cream, I will have a better portfolio as well. So efficiency is also linked to the portfolio quality. So if I am able to give a good TAT, I'll get the first customer walking in, and therefore it could be the chances of that being a much better customer would be much higher than if I am giving an approval in 24 hours, which means I am only getting over the leftover cases. So improving efficiency is a constant motive of ours, and that is what we constantly work on. So my aim is to take this 40-45% to 70-75% of STP, and that's what we will do in the next 4 to 5 months for sure.
So this is good, sir. Thank you so much. Best of luck, and I'm sure the numbers will keep on improving every quarter.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Ankur Kumar from Alpha Technologies. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congrats for a good set of numbers, and thank you for taking my question. Sir, my first question is on the this ARC sale this quarter and the credit cost. As in Q2, our credit cost is coming negative. And so what should be our assumption going forward in the second half as well as next year, given we have some 50 odd crore extra provisions also? So how should we look at this credit cost impairment numbers?
Hi, Ankur. Thanks for your question. So first, talking about the ARC sale. Yes, when the ARC sale happens, you do the reversals of the entire, book from your AUM. Second component you reverse is basically the reverse the impairment component also from the book. That's the sole reason of having, minus in that impairment cost. Second thing, how do we look at, if we talk about at a steady state, as I said in Q1 itself, we are looking at a credit cost of somewhere around 1 to 1.25%, on an overall number as of now, right? And even if we have seen the slippage, in past also, it was around 1.75% on a very higher side. We are not seeing that trend. CEO has also told us, early trend of NPA, which is not even 1% of the cases which we have sourced in the last 1 year. So therein, I'm expecting the credit cost to remain at 1 to 1.25%. Even if that increased, that is the reason I told that we have an excess in that provision, which will help us in meeting our targets.
Got it. So in case it increases, we will have that buffer available.
Yeah. Right now, we don't have any such trend of any increase, and we don't have, any such indications also.
Got it, sir. And my second question is on the growth, sir. We are talking quite good AUM numbers for next year as well as the 5,000 crore, which should be happen by December. So two-fold question on this, sir. One is on the two-wheeler industry slowdown. So are we saying it will not have much impact on us? We will continue to grow. And second is, sir, there is this RBI soft targets, soft indications by RBI that you should not grow that fast, at least to the unsecured business. So are we any worry on both these fronts, sir, on our growth numbers?
Okay, so I'll take that question. So this month we should do about 300 crores, which is about 35,000-36,000 numbers. Okay, the industry is about this month. Industry should be about 15 lakh units. Okay, so I don't think that 35,000 numbers I should be worried about the industry shrinking per se, because may not impact. So if I am a 1 lakh, 1.5 lakh player in the market per month, I should be worried about the industry shrinking. But as of now, I have enough headroom there for growth, because there are a lot of smaller NBFCs whose market share I am currently being able to capture easily. So as of now, industry shrinking is not a worry for me. When I reach a 60,000, 65,000 or say a 1 lakh unit per month number, I will be worried about that. Two, on the RBI, I think we already had a similar question before, to which I had said that so far I have not seen, we have not witnessed that microfinance indebtedness coming as an impediment to two-wheeler business as yet. And again, I repeat my statement, it would be hubris to say that nothing is going to impact. All the changes in the economy will have some cascading effect on all the businesses therein. But the checks and balances that we are maintaining in terms of, there's a secured asset, our LTV is at around 80%, 20% equity is paid by the customer, first three EMIs are collected by the sales team essentially, All that reduces the residual value, and then we have a much better, repo mechanism and a resale mechanism. Sometime next year, maybe we will start used two-wheeler business also. That's in the plan. Maybe it's slightly premature to announce it now, but yes, since the question came up, I'm saying we will have that, in which case we will have an added advantage where we will be able to maybe have a stock of these vehicles and also sell it at a finance, and therefore we will further reduce our loss on sale from the current number of 35% to maybe a single digit number, because then we will not be auctioning it, but we may be selling it on finance to someone else also. So those are all the, then the entire end to end of the supply chain we are catering to. So these are some of the measures. So we will keep abreast of the situations in the emerging situation in the market, and we will take action as deemed fit.
Got it, sir. And sir, on ROE side, you said 3.5 to 3.8 is possible. That would mean a ROE of around 15% for us. Is that right assumption?
Yeah.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thank you so much, everyone. It was wonderful talking to all of you, and such interesting, and some of the questions are really thought-provoking. You've given us new ideas to go back to the drawing board and implement. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure connecting with you. And once again, wish you all and your loved ones a very, very happy Diwali and an extremely prosperous year ahead. Thank you.
On behalf of Elara Securities Private Limited, that concludes the conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you. Bye.